A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete!
Lose! I don't lose! I win! I win! I'm a lawyer! That's my job! That's what I do!
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Comedians at Law. I'm Kevin Israel, and I'm joined by my partner in crime, Matt Ritter.
What's up, guys? I'm doing this from a coffee bean. That's how dedicated I am to Comedians at Law.
You know what? Listen, we will do our podcast anywhere, anytime.
That's right. That's right. You know, I was in New York. We had a great little Comedians at Law gathering.
Yeah, we did. It's rare to get the whole family together, and when we do, it's a special occasion.
We've got a great sketch coming out for our listeners.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this, be prepared. When do you think that's gonna hit the internet, Matt?
Hopefully by the end of this week, I think. Oh,
you think that soon? Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be exciting to see. We're not just stand-up comedians. We're putting out all sorts of material and product for our fans, which is nice.
It's gonna change your life, everyone.
It is. It really. You know what? This really is gonna open your eyes and make you look completely different at the practice of law and of Comedians at Law.
Yeah, and I did Alex's show at Gotham Comedy Club. It was amazing on Saturday night.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Great show. Great crowd. Great nice. Saturday night crowd.
You got to do a little New York stand-up comedy. Is it different? Because, you're out in L.A., so is performing in the city different?
Absolutely. There's nothing like a hot Saturday night New York crowd.
Yeah, a lot of energy.
A lot of energy. It's electric.
Nice. All right, well, why don't we get started? We have some pretty cool stories to talk about.
Since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
And why don't you kick it off with our first story out of North Korea?
Well, you know, look, I think we all can agree that North Koreans are crazy, but also we now know that they are addicted to meth. And when I say they, I mean, according to an article, a study, at least 50% of the population. So, in case you didn't hear me the first time, 50% of the population. That's one out of every two people.
Half of the country is on meth.
Yeah, half the country.
You think that's reflective of the government?
Well, it's only the north part of North Korea, it sounds like, but they actually said it's everybody. It's the police, the government, regular people, diplomats. In March, a report alleged that an unknown number of North Korean diplomats were given about 44 pounds of illegal drugs to sell on trips abroad.
44 pounds.
Yeah, I think that's like an average batch on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I mean this really. So I wonder if that's a big show over there. I wonder if that's available in North.
The thing is most meth heads don't have televisions because they've pawned them for more meth.
44 pounds of illegal drugs. That's got to be intent to distribute.
Yeah, and it says here that Kim Jong Un tried to enforce a crackdown. That's the amazing thing to me is that, you know, in a country that's so notorious for their dictator and their policies, that was one thing that wasn't effective, a crackdown on meth.
Well, it just shows you that regardless of what kind of dictatorship or totalitarian reign you have, people are going to get their fix if they want.
Oh, I mean, look at Afghanistan. I mean, Taliban is one of the strictest rules ever, but didn't stop the opium abuse.
Nope. I liked that they interviewed a couple of people. One of the guys said doing ice was a social thing. It was a lot of fun. I like that they called it ice. I'm not up on my meth terminology.
I got to be honest with you. I found the same quote very interesting. I feel like I'm going to be ahead of my friends in the neighborhood if I start calling it ice.
It just sounds cool. I mean, not to be funny, but I didn't think North Koreans were so cool, but calling it ice.
I think part of doing hard drugs, part of the cool part of doing hard drugs is coming up with fun nicknames for it.
Right. Like chasing the dragon is smoking heroin.
Right, and like,
don't ask if I know that.
What? And then like, Coke is like skiing or like partying. Or, I think we should come up with some other ones for Matt. You know.
Well, maybe we can put that out to our listeners. If you guys want to come up with some, if you guys know of or want to come up with some cool names for meth, a drug that I think is really not a specifically cool drug. I've never really associated meth with a good time.
Well, what would be interesting is if all these people are the North Korean version of rednecks.
Do they have rednecks in other countries?
That's a good question. Do they have rednecks in North Korea?
I you know what I also found interesting? That apparently meth is so prevalent over there that people give it to each other as a birthday present.
Honestly, that is a cool birthday present.
That, well, it's ice, so it better be cool.
Yeah, what do you, I mean, do you even wrap it, or do you just, like, hand it to them in a bag?
Listen, I think however you get it, you're probably happy about getting it.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's, what do you think about just in general, I mean, if, you know, we're on the topic of drugs, you know, did you see, this is related, I'm going on a tangent a little bit, Sanjay Gupta reversed his stand on medicinal marijuana, now he thinks it's A-okay.
You mean what's my personal stance?
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Well, marijuana I'm good with. I think there's really no reason that marijuana should be illegal.
What about meth?
I think meth is probably a problem. I think any substance that's highly addictive and can just, you know, really destroy your life like that. And now I realize that people are going to say alcohol can be addictive, but...
Now, I think any drug that messes with your skin should be illegal.
Yeah, any drug that makes your teeth fall out is it should be a no-no.
If other people have to look at your open sores on your face, that should be criminalized.
Right, exactly. So,
should we move on to the next topic?
Yeah, so I guess just good luck to North Korea. I hope you work out your meth problem.
Yeah, I don't care.
Moving on to our next story, this one cuts close to home. My own state of New Jersey, our rock star governor Chris Christie, who wherever you are in the country, if you're listening to this, you know who Chris Christie is. He just signed a law into effect that bans gay conversion therapy. The thing I found most interesting about this is that there is something called gay conversion therapy.
Oh, I knew that. I was, I
did not.
I underwent some of it when I was a kid.
And it didn't work, apparently.
It did not work.
Matt Ritter still just loves the penis.
No, I did know that that was a real, I did know that that was a thing that a lot of these, you know, crazy zealots think that is an actual method.
It's really, you know, zealot and crazy is definitely a good description of the situation because it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's apparently, like you said, it's a very extreme view, but there are a lot of licensed psychiatrists and psychologists out there that truly support this gay conversion therapy, which basically, if you're a homosexual, they say through various extreme forms of therapy, you can, I guess, see the light and become straight, which is as ridiculous as it sounds. But really disturbing is the methods they use. They administer electroshock therapy while showing the subject homosexual acts. They also give them drugs that cause nausea and vomiting while showing them, gay sexual acts.
So it's basically like the Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny that you went with a movie route because I was gonna say it's
Clockwork
Orange. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Make them watch movies of like Victoria's Secret models over and over again.
Yeah, I guess they. Yeah, I I think if you didn't see Clockwork Orange, just about a bunch of violent, sexually active guys, the leader of whom goes through a conversion therapy to make him a productive member of society. And the end of the story, it doesn't work, and he goes back to his old ways. So
yeah, if they're going to focus on any conversion therapy, I think they should focus on the productive member of society conversion therapy.
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces of crap in our society that can be converted into something useful, and I don't think homosexuals fall into that category.
No, they do not. They're very, very productive members.
Yeah, and you know, and Chris Christie, although a Republican, and he's trying to appeal to conservative primary voters in his hopes to run for president in a few years. He did say that he believes you're born gay and that there's, you know, it's a sexual orientation and there's nothing that can change it, which struck a bad chord with a lot of the real
old. Yeah, no, listen, it's very bold of him, you know. I think he means what he says.
Yeah, no, and I believe him, and I think it's the right stand. I think this. I mean, listen, this is a really, really draconian, you know.
You don't want to be on the wrong side of these real backwards things, you know.
Yeah. I'm serious that I did not know that this existed, and I'm shocked that it does, and I'm glad we're moving in a way that.
I knew that there were people that thought they could beat the gay out of their sons.
That's literally what it is. They think they're going to beat the gay out of you.
So please stop doing that if you're doing that, because it doesn't work.
And if you've ever been to a gay bar, if you deny somebody's homosexuality, they actually just become more gay. So I don't think that's gonna help the situation. But I'm proud to be from New Jersey in this story. I'm proud of Governor Christie, and I hope other states jump on this bandwagon and get rid of what is probably one of the most ridiculous practices I've heard of in recent times.
Ditto.
So this segues really nicely into our last story, which kind of feels like it was peeled out of a Penthouse Letters magazine.
I love Penthouse Letters.
Did you ever partake in the Penthouse Letters?
So you mean writing them?
No, read them. Did you ever?
Oh yes, I read them. I was too young to write them, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't think it mattered, because did you ever think they were true?
You know, I have a really funny story. I was down in Texas with a couple of buddies, and me and my buddy went to sleep early, and our other friend came back late and claimed that he had hooked up with this girl, and he was telling this story in the cab ride on the way to the airport, and he was like, "Oh," and then she got me off with a hot towel four or five times, and I got her off like four or five times, and all of a sudden the cab driver starts chuckling, and we go, "What are you laughing at?" He goes, "I read that exact story in Penthouse Letters."
Ah, that's awesome. But so
now, every time we see that friend, we always bring up that story.
But that doesn't necessarily argue that they're not true, just that your friend was a liar.
Yes.
I still think that they were not true. A lot of them are too ridiculous. I don't think everybody's having – that many people are having ridiculous sexual encounters like Penthouse Letters would insinuate. But anyway, getting to the story,
yes.
An 18-year-old Floridian girl – named Caitlin Hunt was having a sexual relationship with a 14-year-old female. When the younger girl's parents found out, they pressed charges against her, and she was charged with two counts of lewd and lascivious behavior. And she was ordered by the court to stay away from the older girl was ordered by the court to stay away from the younger girl. Part of the controversy here is that nobody would have made a big deal out of this if it was an 18-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl, I guess, or it wouldn't have been as big a deal. But apparently, the younger girl's parents were upset because she was behaving as a lesbian, and her parents don't want to believe that she is a lesbian, and that's why they pressed the charges and they made such a big deal out of it, that they're trying to make it look like the older girl, this Caitlin Hunt, was taking advantage of the younger girl and the younger girl.
I'm always like a little leery about the whole like, let's charge this 18-year-old when they're dating somebody else in high school. It's a very gray area. They're all kids.
Well, and you know what? And that brings me to the question: when you were in high school, what was the biggest age disparity?
I was a senior. I dated a freshman.
As did I.
I mean, to think that you could end up in jail for that is pretty scary.
It really is ridiculous. And this isn't, you know, there's been a lot of stories lately in the papers about teachers having sexual relationships with students. It always seems to be an older female teacher having a relationship with a senior in high school or something, which I think is really unfair because we never had those opportunities when I was in high school.
No, we never had any teachers that looked like that. They never looked like that back then.
No, and they always do seem to be attractive, which I find interesting. But this story is really just a young girl who, you know, happened to, I guess, you know, be attracted to another young girl. I don't think 18 and 14 is so shocking.
I just hate the law getting used as a sword to, you know, to destroy a teenager's life.
Yeah. Well, so there is a big movement out there to save Caitlyn, and they say that she's being targeted and ostracized because she's a lesbian, and this doesn't really have anything to do with statutory laws or the age issue. So I don't know where exactly I fall in this one, but the interesting thing was that she was supposed to keep away from her, and it came out that they've been texting back and forth for weeks, and they've still been having sex. And listen, like the people in Korea, when you want something really bad, you're not going to stop the person from getting it.
Yeah, well, I thought it was also interesting that she sent 20,000 text messages.
Well, I mean, do you have any teenage nieces or anything?
I do.
Yeah, those little girls text a lot.
You know, I think this guy actually really sued because his daughter was on the family plan and dealt with him.
He just wants his money back for the data usage.
Just pay off my Verizon bill and we'll call it even.
Yeah. So I think that wraps up our stories. I think we found some good ones this time. And why don't we switch over to our next section? Good cop versus bad cop.
Look, I'm really sorry about that. I just I saw how aggressive you were being, and I thought, wow, I got to go even bigger than that since we're doing bad cop, bad cop.
What? No, I said good cop, bad cop. I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop.
Okay, then there it is. That's it. I thought you said bad cop, bad cop.
Okay, are you on the Twitter feed?
I am on the Twitter feed.
All right, so I'll be the bad cop then.
Okay. It's hard for me to be the good cop because we're just not getting the activity that we would like from our audience. And we're offering up free t-shirts for all this stuff. Like if you can come up with a cool name for meth, or if you know a cool name of meth besides ice and you tweet at us, you're going to get a free t-shirt. How easy is that?
You know, you're playing the good cop, right?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at our Twitter feed and I see a couple of retweets here and there, but I don't see anyone using the CAL hashtag, which bothers me.
Yes. Yeah, that is a problem. If you tweet, and you got to tweet at us with hashtag CalPod, CALPOD, and that's how we find you, and that's how we identify you.
Yeah, we did pick up some new followers, but I don't think you should give any of them a t-shirt.
No, we're not even going to call them out. We're just gonna cut it off.
No, all you right. Could call them out if you really want.
No, you know what? Matt Ritter rules with an iron fist, and we're not gonna mention any of our new followers because we're so disappointed with our current followers. So a few bad eggs ruined it for everybody.
Fine. I'm happy with that. Don't call them out.
All right. Well, listen. So if you guys want to win a t-shirt, and typically we say, hey, listen, any of our new followers will mention their names, and if they tweeted us that they heard us mention them, we'll send them t-shirts. And we have. We've actually done this. We have sent people t-shirts. But this week it's not happening because Matt Ritter said so.
Fine. But make me the bad guy. I can handle it.
Matt is the bad cop today.
You'll get your t-shirts in 2 weeks if you're good boys and girls.
But you know what? Now no t-shirts. No t-shirts for you. So why don't we move over to the last section? We have a very exciting interview today. I have the opportunity to interview a 1L student who's going to Ohio State Law School by the name of Lucy Cooley. So we'll switch over to the interview. Mm-hmm. Hey, Lucy, this is Kevin Israel at Comedians at Law. How are you doing today?
Hi, Kevin. I'm doing great.
So you just started law school. What are you within your first week?
Yeah, everybody's been great. The orientation was amazing. I learned so much about the law.
Oh, you learned a lot about the law and orientation, huh?
Yeah, there's something called torts, and it's not just a pastry.
No, torts is not a pastry. It's actually an offense against another or another's property.
Have you ever had a tort? Have you ever had a tort from Magnolia Bakery?
No, I can't say I did, but again, tort's a legal term and not a pastry.
No, but the pastry's a tort is really good. And sometimes I'll have them delivered from Chicago. There's a great little cupcake place that I like in Chicago.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you really need to be more focused on the law right now. So what got you interested in the law? Why'd you decide to go to law school?
Well, my parents told me I had to do something if they wanted to keep giving me allowance.
So you're just going to be a professional student until your parents finally cut you off.
Well, no, I assume that somebody's going to hire me to be a partner at their law firm.
Oh, you're going to get hired to be a partner?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's my plan.
Yeah, you realize that the the hiring rate and the job opportunity rate in law schools has been declining every year, and the chance of you actually getting a job is slim to none.
No, but that's what the ugly people say.
Oh, you're a pretty girl? I haven't seen a picture of you.
I'll send you one. What's your Twitter?
You can tweet at us at Comedians at Law. Shoot us over a picture, and we'll decide if you're pretty enough to become a partner at a law firm after your.
I was prom queen 2 times in a row.
Twice, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I went to 2 different schools.
Oh, well, you sounds like you're really well set up to be going to law school. Is anyone in your family a lawyer?
My dad's a lawyer. He's a partner at a firm. I'm going to be a partner there too. And then they won't even have to change the name on the door.
So you're going to be taking advantage of nepotism.
What's that?
Never mind. Have you, a lot of people get into law because they see it in pop culture. Do you ever watch Law and Order? Or ever seen A Few Good Men or My Cousin Vinny?
I don't watch the news.
Right. Those were movies and a TV show.
Have you seen Legally Blonde too?
Unfortunately, yes, I did.
Like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, well, that was fiction, and
was it?
Okay, well, yeah. Let's move on to your experience in law school. So, how's your first week been?
Well, I only went to that one class about the pastries.
Oh, so you've only been to torts.
But the library is really nice.
Yeah, but you're going to be spending a lot of time in the library. You better get very.
No, I have Pilates during most of the study hours.
I have to be honest with you. Over the next 3 years, you're probably going to put on 20 to 30 pounds.
No, my mother weighs 97 pounds.
Right. Is your mother a lawyer?
No, she doesn't work.
Right. Well, yeah, so you might want to cut down the exercises because you're going to be having a lot of studying.
Well, I got into the best study group.
Oh, you have a study group?
Yeah, all these boys said I could be in their study group.
It's all boys and you.
Yes. 18 boys and me.
18 boys and you.
Yeah. They said we're going to do it in one of their dorm rooms.
You're going to do it and you're going to be studying, I assume, is what they meant, right?
I think so, yeah.
Listen, you might want to find a smaller study group with maybe a couple other girls in the group.
The more, the merrier.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what the 18 boys are saying.
What does that mean? Don't be fresh.
You just need to be prepared for the harsh realities that are law school. How is the feeling of law school compared to your college experience?
Well, there's no sorority, so I don't really know how to compare the two.
Oh, you were in a sorority?
Yeah.
And did you enjoy being in your sorority?
It was the best. I was the president of it.
Oh, you were president. You do have some aspirations, and you seem to be a go-getter. You know, law school could work out. Have you bought all your books already?
What?
Your books. You're probably going to be spending about $1,000 on books.
No.
Yeah.
I'm a good listener.
No, see, you're going to need to read. You're probably going to be reading about 200 to 300 pages a day.
Well, the study group people told me they'll read. They'll take notes from me.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be taking notes of you. You're definitely going to want to get those books and maybe some study guides. There's a high court case summaries really breaks down books the cases pretty well. You're going to want to start studying in the library.
Can you recommend some movies?
I could recommend a lot of movies, but you're probably not going to be watching many movies over the next 3 years.
Legal movies. I'd rather learn through movies.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, this has been a great interview, and Lucy, I wish you all the best of luck. Why don't you check back with us maybe at the end of the semester? Let us know how you're doing. We definitely want to follow your progress at law school.
Okay, let me know where to send those pictures.
All right, we definitely will. Make sure.
And I'll send you some torts from the bakery in Chicago.
I can't wait to try one of those torts, Lucy. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.